It's time for Rural Matters, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Jake.
This is an encore.
Welcome, everybody. New edition, Rural Matters. Jake Atzma with you. And I'd like to start out with our segment sponsor, English Realty. That's Tim English. And he is located at 154 Southwest Oak Street in Dallas, Oregon. And his office number is 503-837-1068. Tim has been in the real estate business for years, a ex-Marine, but then always a Marine, father of 12, a man of faith, and someone that can get through the ebbs and flows and challenges of all things real estate. Those transactions don't write themselves. If you need anything, Tim is your guy. So Tim English Realty in Dallas. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you very much. With me today, very, very special guest. All guests are special, but I've, for this Thanksgiving season, I wanted to bring my daughter, Lydia Ruby Atzma, in.
Hello.
Who worked the farm with me for years and years with my mom and dad and fellow co-workers through time. Lydia, so here, after all these months, I finally got you on. How are you?
I am doing well. You know, I've heard so many stories about you coming in here and doing your sessions, and now I'm finally here, a part of one.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we can't do this without David Born Identity, our producer, who gives me evil looks or fingers to make sure that this program goes right. We've got to always pay homage to the people that record us, mm-hmm. kind of like in if you're doing a play or something, you want to make sure that you are good to your sound person or they'll make things bad
for
you.
Your makeup person, your lighting person, yeah.
So Lydia, you and I... we had many years together running the farm, starting quite honestly from when you were just a very young girl. You loved animals. Lydia, why don't you just explain this thing about you with animals and even the dairy and stuff like that. You had that in you.
Yeah, you know, even when I was a little kid, my classmates were like, what is with you? Why do you like this stuff so much? And I was like, I don't know, I just do. And when we lived in Mount Angel, before we moved onto the farm, we had what in my head was a giant backyard and that big garden shed. And I was like, dang it, that is a perfect place to keep a horse. And we have a giant yard. The horse can eat the grass. And I got to figure out a way to convince mom and dad to let me have a horse in the backyard.
Yeah, and that wouldn't have flown very well with the municipality
no.
rules and so forth there. But, you know, Lydia, from when I would commute to the farm back then, and you were just a young mm-hmm. gal back then.
Yep.
But you didn't hesitate. You wanted to mix it up there, and I was afraid for you because those animals were so big, and I would like lose sight of you inside with the herds and stuff. I go, I'd have to hang on to your hand.
Well, yeah, because I'd come with you for just your afternoon shifts, and you know, you'd don your breeding glove, and I'd get a breeding glove and it would go all the way up past my arm, and I'd get the soap and everything, and I'd just follow you around. And there are even times when you were like, oh, Lydia, I got to go get on the tractor. Don't have a lot for you to do. So I'd go help Beppa in the garden until you were done. And yeah, great, great childhood growing up, getting to splash in all the puddles with my boots on and let the calves suck my fingers. And it was great.
Yeah. And through that, Lydia, you know, you develop as a young person going into it. How do you think the farm formed you as a young lady that you are today?
Oh, definitely gave me a hard work ethic. If you want something, you got to go out. You got to do it. You got to put in the time and the effort. But also in that, it teaches you sometimes you can give 110% and it's not going to work out. And that's also a very important lesson that I think a lot of people don't. Oh, I did this. I put in this much time. I put in this much effort. Therefore, I am entitled to it. Well, fortunately, this is the real world and it doesn't work that way. And so that was also a great lesson I learned.
And you can take that with you as you going forward. Lydia, we as we grew together, you and your sister and your older brother Seth got older and so forth, and your older brother also was active with me on the farm up until he went to college and the Navy and so on and so forth. But you had it in you. You wanted to be part of it. And even as you got older, your role started to even develop on the farm. Mm-hmm. So why don't you talk a little bit about, like, when you were in junior high or even high school, what you were doing?
So, I mean, the whole reason I got on the dairy payroll to begin with was I wanted to earn money to go to the eighth grade Washington, D.C. trip. And that was one reason I joined, but it developed into, oh, well, I want to learn how to do this now. I mean, I know how to feed calves. I know how to clean stalls. What else can I learn how to do? And it wasn't long after that that I finally got to drive the skid steer. And I was like, well, now I can drive the skid steer. Oh, now I'm administering medication to the cows, shots and pills. And, oh, now we're record keeping. Now we're doing the fresh heifers and we're reapplying lost tags. And it was like the more I worked on it, the more I wanted to learn as much as I could about it and master all the skills that came with being on the farm. I will admit, the one thing I never wanted to do was the actual bookkeeping and the payroll and all that stuff. But like I said earlier, life always has its own choices for you.
Yeah, we'll discuss that a little bit later, how you came into that role. You have a natural love for science and biology and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the farm really bode well for you. Mm-hmm. And so what was some of your favorite things to do when you were younger on the farm?
Feed the calves. Obviously, that was number one. The babies were always, up until the day we left, my number one with a bullet. Really perfecting our raising and rearing of the calves, getting them as healthy and as good of a start as we possibly could between changing out feed and grain and their living situations. And honestly, it was the closest I got to feeling like a Disney princess, you know. I have all these very cute animals around me, from the calves to the kittens and the cats and the birds. And baby calves all the way. Favorite as a little kid, favorite as an adult.
Yeah, well, those feral cats would follow you when you had your milk ready to feed the calves. And they're hoping that you'd trip and fall so that they could get their free meal. But you would feed them anyway.
I always made sure they got their cut.
So, Lydia, as you got older and then you would have friends, what were your friends thinking when you would bring them over to visit our place?
They were always surprised as to actual how much work went into the farm. They would look at it from the outside and, okay, yeah, they knew we fed them. But they think about it in a feeding a human sense, you know, oh, we have our three meals a day, then we go about our business. And then all we do is bring them in at the end of the day and we milk them and boom, that's it. They never really put into consideration the planning of the feed as far as their nutrition goes, making sure everything works, because that was always a question mark. Is stuff going to turn on today? And then depending on other people, too, I'd have to be like, hey, hold on a second. I got to go make sure so-and-so showed up on time. And then I can get back to this. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go make some phone calls. And then the silage pits. I don't think anybody really thinks very much about how the cows eat, in that we store our food, or we don't just go to the grocery store every week for the cows and buy them food. They would look at those pits and how tall the mound of silage was. A lot of them wanted to climb up there, which you never let us did, much to our disappointment. But at the end of the day, good idea. What kind of liability insurance would we have if somebody fell off one of those? Yeah, it's just the small things. They think about the big picture, the feeding and the caring and then the actual work, but the minute parts is just, oh, I didn't think about, oh, yeah, you have to make sure so-and-so shows up. Yeah, didn't even think about that.
When you mean so-and-so shows up, that's all about, Lydia. What's that about?
Well, we were a small dairy. mainly ran by you, me, and Paca, or my grandpa. But we had 2 to 3 employees that we counted on to be our outside guys, be it feeding the cows, cleaning the alleys, bedding stalls, or then the big one, milking. And especially when we milked 2 times a day, that was another thing. Oh, you get up at midnight? You get up in the dark when it's raining, when it's cold, when it's hot? It doesn't matter. We're like the postman that way. Yes, we have to get up at midnight no matter what. Make sure the milker is here or go do the job ourselves.
Yeah, so that makes an impression. And even that your friends themselves weren't exactly city slickers. They had a rudimentary knowledge of agriculture in general because they probably had a family themselves in their generations. We are talking with my daughter, Lydia Ruby Atzma, my right-hand gal for years and years on Cascade View Dairy. You're listening to Rural Matters. This is Jake, and we're going to be right back with more. Thanks.
The conversation continues on Rural Matters. Once again, here's Jake.
This is an encore.
Back, everybody. Rural Matters. Jake with you. Hoping you're enjoying this type of season and this time of the year. And also so thankful for our segment sponsors that allow us to stay on. Brooks True Value Hardware Store. And they're located at 5050 Brook Lake Road in Brooks for all your hardware needs. And they're selling Bonterra, which is their nitro fix from Bonterra. And you can call them at 503-393-1251 or online at brookstruevaluehardware.com. With me today, my daughter, Lydia. I can't do all of the programs that I've done over the past year and some change. And I thought as we look in November in the Thanksgiving season to bring a little family in, Lydia, and you were so instrumental on the farm, and we'll talk a little bit more about that going further into the programs. But Lydia, what young girl story would you like to share that people probably wouldn't know about being on a farm?
So probably one of my all-time favorite a farm stories actually really doesn't have much to do with the cows themselves, but is something I'll definitely never forget is back in the day when we had 2 fields for our dry cows, so our cows who weren't milking but pregnant, so they were on their vacation. And we would open up the back field so that they could go graze in the second field. Of course, we had to alert them to the fact that, hey, these gates are open and there's feed out there. So we had to take some time to get them over there, move them ourselves. I was out there with my Paca, which is Freeze for Grandpa. And it was very, very hot, very dry, probably July, August day. Heat dog days of summer easily. And we were walking up on the crest of our holding lagoon that holds our wastewater. So it's basically like a giant swimming pool that you absolutely do not want to go swimming in. But we were up on top of it. So we had a nice elevated view and we both look in one direction and we see a mound in the grass that doesn't look quite right. And cows had moved. They were figuring their stuff out. So we go and investigate and it was a poor hawk, red-tailed hawk, that had, we assume, tried to catch a bird on the surface of the lagoon and gotten gunked up, if that's a nicer way I can say that. And the poor thing was just totally caked in waste and couldn't fly, sitting there totally stressed out, panting in this very, very hot weather. And well, we had a water trough that was just maybe 200 feet away from us. But we took one look at those claws, those talons on those feet, and we're like, well, probably don't want to handle that barehanded. So Paca ran to the shop and grabbed his welding gloves and he picked the bird up and was kind of holding it out, kind of like, okay, careful with this thing. And we took it to the water trough and gave that poor bird a bath. And I remember we laid her out in the sun so she could dry off. And I brought some raw hamburger out in case she was hungry. And that was just amazing. First of all, you don't get a chance to see those birds super close up. You don't really realize how big they are, how strong and dangerous their beaks and their talons are and their eyes. Like, they know, like, they look at you and they like acknowledge that you're there. And it's kind of an intelligence that's hard to put into words when you're generally thinking about animals. But I remember even as I was probably 14, 13 at the time, I was like, this is something people don't get to do every day. This is something that none of my friends have done for sure. I would bet every cent in my bank that none of my friends have ever given a red-tailed hawk a bath. And I did.
So what it was is that hawk made a dive bomb into a very bad, bad environmental situation for it because the lagoon water is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Calseptic tank, basically.
Yeah, and it's what we had to empty during the summer. And as you mentioned, it was so hot. And my dad, your paca, you two just made this your project. Mm-hmm. And it really is something that we think about when we look back on our lives on the farm with some of those unique stories. And of course, the bird did get washed up and it did eat that hamburger and it was able to fly. Mm-hmm. And then my dad said that he is relatively certain the next day that bird actually saluted him from the air. And my dad, Paca, grandpa to you, doesn't make stuff up, but mm-hmm. it's one of those experiences. And I will say this, Lydia, from my angle, when I was a young person like you were on the farm, we had built-in relationships that a farm could make or break in a family. Mm-hmm. And sure. I remember my mom saying to us boys, particularly your Uncle Gerald and your Uncle Louie, we were pretty active on the farm in our junior high to high school years to help save money for college and stuff. And she would say, look, how many kids can actually go shoulder to shoulder and work with their dad or their mom, which is in our case, and not be a weak link in this farm chain. Mm-hmm. And it was so important for us as a family because, no, we were not a large place. We never were. Mm-mm. Our model worked for quite a while. But we had the opportunity to make things happen. And we were never slaves. We always mm-hmm. were able to pursue our interests. What interests did you pursue, Lydia, outside of the farm as you were growing up?
Definitely one of the benefits to working on the dairy farm was, and you've had a number of those great ladies on your program, is the Dairy Princess program, which I also participated in. 2008 Marion County Dairy Princess. And I knew I always wanted to do it. Particularly for the scholarship opportunities it provided. But the one thing I never thought I would get out of that program was literally lifelong friends from the other girls that I worked with. And that was an unseen benefit. And in fact, I am still incredibly good friends with one of the gals that we did county together. And I'm so happy that I did, but also it gave me something great to put on my resume and improved my public speaking and even helped me get to know more about the dairy industry itself because I got to see the dairy industry from other angles, not just on the farm, but the processing plants and the community service that you can do by educating other people, not just because that's the one thing us farmers kind of do, you know, we hunker down in our little bubbles and we just work. But there's a whole swath of people out there who don't really know what we do. And it's great to be able to have an opportunity to step off the farm and tell people about that as well. So being the Marion County Dairy Princess was one of my all-time favorite things I ever did.
And you had fun at it. And I will say, being as objective as possible, it really helped. It was great for you. And you were really good for it. And your younger sister also, mm-hmm, Alice, mm-hmm. also participated in it and got many of the benefits from it. When you were in college, what would you tell your friends about farming, Lydia?
That's a good question. I mean, of course, they were curious in the sense of what was it like to be able to work with animals every day and because, you know, they had their dogs and their cats at home, but being around really massive animals wasn't something that they used to do. It was really, those were the questions that they asked the most was, what's it like working with the cows? What's it like being around babies all the time? And when, and so basically that's the, those are the questions I got the most. And so I was like, well, you know, yeah, they're really cute, but they can be dumb and frustrating at times, but they're kind of like your younger sibling, you know, you love them anyways.
Well, yeah. And, you know, with your experience as a dairy princess or dairy ambassador for Marion County, and that took you all over the county, and that gave you the innate knowledge to be able to present yourself and present the cause, if you will, because agriculture is, in a sense, a cause, mm-hmm. With less so such small part of the population doing it. You're listening to Rural Matters. I'm Jake Atzma, and I've got my lovely daughter, Lydia, talking about growing up on the farm. We're going to be back right after the news for the back half of this program. Hang on. We'll see you soon.
Back to Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.
This is an encore.
Welcome back. Rural Matters, Jake with you right here on 1430 AM KYKN. So grateful to always get to be here, and so grateful for the folks that believe in this program and this radio station and segment sponsorship. And Lynn Benton Tractor, your local Kubota dealer off Highway 34 and 99E in Tangent. With me today, I like the idea of, with the Thanksgiving season, Lydia, of having you on. We had your Uncle Arthur on at Christmas last year, mm-hmm. and it's only fair and right that you get an opportunity to talk about your experiences. Lydia, so now you're college age. Mm-hmm. And you are at Oregon State in Corvallis.
Mm-hmm. Go Beavers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that might be controversial on this.
No, that's okay. We're okay here. We're all right here. At any rate, so talk about you and your sister Alice, mm-hmm. At Oregon State and mm-hmm. your major, and talk about what you did as work study.
Okay, so yeah, moved to Corvallis the summer of 2010. And yeah, me and my sister rented a one-bedroom apartment together, which was a big learning curve for both of us there, but that's a whole nother story. But I was incredibly blessed as to calling the manager of the OSU Dairy before I even moved there. And I said, hey, you know, I'm going to be going to OSU in the fall and I need a job. And yeah, I'd love to work at the OSU Dairy. And he gave me a call, said, when are you moving? And I said, I gave him the dates. He said, well, why don't you start a week after that? And so I did. I was trained in the morning. And when he told me, now you're going to have to be here at 3:30 in the morning. And I said, we get to be here at 3:30? Because I had grown up on the dairy and we were up out at midnight. I think that kind of threw him off a little bit. He's like, well, yeah, you have to be here at 3:30 to start the milking. And so I said, that's great. I can totally do that. Well, yeah, sign me up. I'm ready to go. I think the most interesting part about working at the OSU Dairy was I got to see more than just some Holsteins, because Holsteins and crosses, Jersey Holstein crosses, had been the mainstay at our place. And I was like, well, it's a cow. It has an udder. Milk comes out of it. Like, how much different can they really be? And boy, did I learn just how different they can be. We had majority of Holsteins, but we had an entire herd of Jersey cows. And when I tell you nobody liked those cows, I mean, nobody liked those cows. I always like to tell people they're as evil as they are cute. Like, it's a mask. And we would always, there was one guy I used to work with, we would high five each other when we finished the Jersey herd, because it was like, yes, okay, oh, the hard part's over. Now we just get the big old Holsteins. We also had a brown Swiss on the place, and her name was Bonnie. And Bonnie was a diva. She seemed to know that she was the only one of her on the farm. And so if she didn't feel like milking, then there really wasn't much we could do about that. She freshened once when I was there. She had her calf, I should say. She had her calf once when I was there. And she was a massive animal. I think her withers, her shoulder blades came up to my shoulders, and her head's like this big. And we're trying to get her in the parlor. And she, you can tell, she's like, well, I'll move if I feel like moving. And my partner even ended up calling our manager, and he like, "I'll just put a halter on her and drag her in." I'm thinking, you put a halter on her and drag her in. She eventually acquiesced. She walked in and let us milk her, but like she made sure we understood who was in real control.
we've had folks on that have jerseys, and they talk about their Hollywood mentality. These gals think they are special, and in a way they are a good moneymaker. And of course, you know, when you talk about the Oregon State Dairy, that was Ben Cron was the manager mm-hmm. there. And so this helps you. You know, you were going to school. What was your major, honey?
So my major flipped a bit. I initially went to OSU to get a Bachelor of Sciences in Environmental Sciences. With then I was going to be a focus in marine biology. Unfortunately, as I say, you know, life teaches you lessons. Calculus just wasn't my jam. I tried it twice and both were utter failures. And I was like, okay, this is my sign. This isn't what I'm meant to do. And that's okay. So then I switched my major to graphic design. And that fall 2011 is probably the best 4 months of school I ever had. I made some incredible friends. We would be so laid out getting our finals done, stressing over our art finals and our art history tests, but it didn't matter because we were having a blast. There was one day where we spent almost an entire 8 hours in the Milne computer lab working on our web designs, and it was like a party. We all had a great time where our eyes exhausted and our brains exhausted by the end of the day. Yeah, but we were living the college life and we were helping each other out. We were having a great time. And I definitely did not regret changing my major at the time. I was very excited to pursue an art degree.
So simultaneously still working on the Oregon State Dairy. So Lydia, how many hours would you be putting on the farm on top of everything else, all things college?
So since I was going full-time at OSU, it was against the rules for us to be working full-time for a OSU affiliated business, I guess you could say. So we worked part-time. I was allowed no more than 20 to 25 hours a week because they really wanted us to have time to focus on our studies. And generally what an average busy day for me would look like would be getting up at 3:30 in the morning to make sure I was at the farm by about 4 o'clock so we could start milking. We'd milk, we'd feed the calves, and then I'm probably heading home by about 8:30. And then boom, I have classes at 10 in the morning through 4 or 5 in the evening doing my homework. And if it was a really busy day, I was getting back up again to go do another shift the following morning. And then you get a couple days off and we'd alternate working weekends.
Well, I would want to say too that I was grateful, especially later on when you stepped in with me more, that the experience you gained there with Ben Cron, the Oregon State Dairy, really helped you out later on as well. And you learned a whole new type of world, managing your time and doing school and so forth. So Lydia, then, you know, you talk about the fall of 2011. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, then we look at the winter of 2012, mm-hmm. particularly in December and of 2012. And my wife, your mother, passes away unexpectedly on a trip for Christmas down in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And then in that time of tremendous shock, if you will, mm-hmm. You said to me, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to help you run the farm because you're going to need me." And I, mm-hmm. College at that time, you had already decided even before that you were not going to do the graphics design. Talk a little bit about that.
So unfortunately, the graphic design program at OSU, I do not know if it is still this way, but back when I was going, it was very competitive and you had to earn a spot. And I was not given a spot for the for that season's classes, but I had already changed my major to a different art degree that actually put me closer to graduating anyways. So I had no idea really what that was going to look like going into the winter 2012, 2013. So it was nice to get away and forget about what I had considered an epic failure at the time and go have a vacation. But when things took a turn for the worse, I already knew, even before Mom actually passed away, I was like, she's going to need recovery time. I have no idea what she's going to look like once she comes home. Is she going to be in a wheelchair? Is she going to be walking? I had no idea what the severity of the illness was. And so I have a very distinct memory of me and Alice sitting next to the Starbucks just past LAX security. And I told her, I looked at her, I said, I'm not going to be able to go to school. I'm going to have to leave school. And I don't know if she was thinking it. We never really talked about that. But her instant agreement was, if she hadn't been thinking about it, it made perfect sense to her in the moment that somebody's going to have to be there to at very least help her around the house while you're outside. And so I already knew it was something I had to do before she passed away. And yeah, I remember sitting in the, and now we had moved to the our terminal. I was like, ugh, I don't know how to do any of this. What did I just agree to?
But you did. Mm-hmm. And it was tremendous because you were able to step in. And so, you know, for the for people that aren't familiar with the dairy life, and we talked about that in the first segment or two, the cows do not take a break for holidays. They don't take a break for weekends. They don't take a break for anything. They continue on. Mm-hmm. And even in a severe life change like what we faced with Judy, your mother passing. And so you, of course, being very tech savvy, the biggest thing was then was to get you in front of the computer simultaneously as we're dealing with the loss. So Lydia, talk about that a little bit.
So, yes, we ran our farm on QuickBooks, and we were very, very fortunate to have our accountant who sent out one of his other accountants to teach me how to use QuickBooks. And so I had, I think we spent maybe 3 hours on the computer. I remember he also took a lot of like final tax year end stuff with him. So that helped there too. But he basically showed me how to do payroll, how to set up for year-end taxes and just whatever basics I needed, because when Mom died, we were going to have to do payroll in 10 days. And at the moment, there wasn't anybody who could do it. So it was very, very, I'm very appreciative, and that's not even the right word, that he took time out of his Saturday to come to our farm and show me how to do QuickBooks.
Yeah, and by doing that, we could keep going because there's the outside part of the whole business, but then there's the brain of the business when it comes to all of the bill paying. That doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were incredibly, incredibly sympathetic and benevolent to us as we were digging out of this and trying to go forward and right in front of Christmas of 2012. Mm-hmm. And it is another part of the growing up on the farm that allowed us to, you know, be tough when you have to be tough, mm-hmm. and then find your places to crawl in a corner and and make do with where we were at. It's not an easy time, but you know, we as a family, you know, you grow, mm-hmm. and with Pac and Beppa helping out and with other folks being very helpful, like our accountant and other people, we were able to continue on. And that was the beauty of what we were at. Mm-hmm. And you, Lydia, you were incredibly strong, and you showed the resilience that God had given and empowered in you, mm-hmm. and in all of us. And so that really, really bode well for us. You're listening to Rural Matters, and this is Jake, and we're going to have our last segment with my daughter Lydia right after this.
Rural Matters continues with Jake on 1430 KYKN.
This is an encore.
Welcome back, everybody. Rural Matters, Jake Atzma with you right here at 1430 AM KYKN. Final segment, and grateful for our local sponsor in Mount Angel talking about our farm today, Shiloh Water Systems, located on 190 West Church Street in Mount Angel. And you can look up Shiloh Water Systems at shilohwater.com. And they're your alternate well water system needs. They do everything that you can imagine. And they're your Kinetico dealer. So appreciative of those folks for this program. And the way they helped us out over time running the farm as well, Lydia. Water rules the roost. Air, water, food, comfort. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Lydia, we're talking about my daughter Lydia Rubiatsma with me today. We're thankful, we're grateful for the years that we had there. Mm-hmm. And when you look at our farm's existence, it started there in Mount Angel in October of 1971. And we ran all the way till the early winter of 2020, with our last milking actually being on February 4th in the morning of 2020. But before that, we had time to keep going. And Lydia, what's your big takeaway, you know, growing up on the farm, knowing that God loves us and takes care of us, being able to step in and keep going, what do you tell people about life? What is your takeaway from losing mom, stepping in and taking over for her?
So if there's one thing I've learned, I feel like I almost kind of got frozen at 23 when she passed away and I had to step in to the farming role. Because one thing that I've only just realized with, you know, aging and moving on from the farm is that 23 is actually incredibly young. Of course, when you are 23 and you're in your early 20s, you feel like you're on top of the world and you've got this life thing figured out. Nothing can stop you now. And in some cases, yeah, like you've got it, but you still have a lot of life to learn. And in that moment, I feel like I had to put a lot of things in my head away in the box. And sure, I was learning how to do the QuickBooks and I was improving our calf rearing system. So it wasn't like I was in an arrested development, but emotionally, I feel like I didn't let myself feel a lot. And when we finally did have to let the farm go, all of a sudden I had a lot of room to think over my last years on the farm. And if there's my one big takeaway from working on the farm is let yourself have your moments, because if you stuff it up, if you keep it to yourself, if you let it build and build and build, you're going to be in for a world of hurt when something happens. And it could be anything in your life. It could seem minor to somebody else. It could feel major to you. I learned quite a bit about emotional maturity coming off the farm, which took me by total surprise. Trust me, I was as surprised by this as anybody would be, because on the outside I looked perfectly normal, and for the most part I felt perfectly normal. But there was a lot of undealt with feelings that I did not allow myself to have, and that certainly hit me quite a bit after we sold the farm.
And I think that people are more open to talking about, feelings can have a negative connotation, but there's a time and place where it's good to get things out mm-hmm. in a healthy, constructive way. We had quite some moments going forward after mom passed mm-hmm. and you took over the calves and created a great environment for them with the hutches. Lydia, you took that over. Mm-hmm. You did a great job. It was an amazing time for even more relationship with Paca and Beppa, mm-hmm. grandma and grandpa, because you, like you said, you mentioned with the hawk, what a relationship that you would have with Paca or grandpa or uh-huh. my dad, because he would always come in and check on you and make sure that you're okay. It was always such a pleasant time.
Asking me if I'm cold.
Yeah.
No, and, I'm not.
And he would always bring me a really big thermos of coffee.
And a sandwich.
These are our takeaways. There were some beautiful mm-hmm. moments. And then the time came when our model wasn't efficient enough in the ag world. You need to either have a niche market if you can, and mm-hmm. there's those that are doing it in the Willamette Valley, mm-hmm. or to have to step up in a very large and efficient scale and move forward. And so we had to make the tough decision, and it was a good one to move on.
Yeah.
So Lydia, life after the farm, how is that for you?
I will say that it's been 3.5 years now. Oh, actually, it's pushing closer to 4 years. And I can really say I'm only just now really starting to adjust to the life after the farm. I will tell you, the first 6 months to a year, I had no idea what to do with myself on weekends. I would be up at 8:30. That was sleeping in. And then I would have the dishes and the vacuuming and my laundry and whatever errands I had to do done by like noon. And then I'm like, what do I do with myself for the rest of the day? I was like, and I still have a whole other day after this. What am I going to do on that day? I eventually learned that, no, you don't have to be up and out and running around all the time. You can take some time to breathe and relax. I've really tried to get back into reading because that fell off quite a bit when we were on the farm. I just did not have the energy to read anymore, and I missed it a lot. And reading was actually a great way to heal too, because you can read stories and about other people and their situations and their rough life, and seeing that you're not alone, that makes a world of difference. Right now, I am really enjoying where I am. I have a wonderful house. I have a cool dog. Love him a lot. And I get holidays. I get holidays off. I don't have to worry about something freezing over, the roads being icy and the employees can't make it. I get to think about getting up and maybe making some hot cocoa in my slippers and pajamas and putting on a movie if I feel like it. But it did. It took a long time for me to even let myself enjoy that, because when you feel like you've lost something big in your life, it's hard to give yourself permission to be happy about the happy stuff in your life.
And it's okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've moved on, and you're in a solid spot. And we're very grateful for the time that we had running Cascade View Dairy. It was a beautiful time, a very challenging time, certainly. Mm-hmm. And it's allowed us to move forward and be regular civilians now. You've been listening to my daughter, Lydia Rubiatsma, worked with me on the farm all her life up until we were done, and wishing everybody a great, great Thanksgiving season. This is Jake. You've been listening to Rural Matters, and we will see you again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This has been Rural Matters, local talk about issues that matter to you, every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.